huddle when William got back. The epicentre of the huddle, its huddlee, turned out to be Mr. Dibbler, who looked just like anyone would look if they'd been harangued. William had never seen anyone to whom the word harangued could be so justifiably applied. It meant someone who had been talked at by Saccharissa for 20 minutes. "Is there a problem?" he said. "Hello, Mr. Dibbler." "Tell me, William," said Saccharissa, while pacing slowly around Dibbler's chair, "if stories were food, what kind of food would Goldfish Eats Cat be?" "What?" William stared at Dibbler. Realisation dawned. "I think it would be a sort of long, thin kind of food," he said. "Filled with rubbish of suspicious origin?" "Now there's no need for anyone to take that tone," Dibbler began, and then subsided under Saccharissa's glare. "Yes, but rubbish that's sort of attractive. You'd keep on eating it, even though you wished you weren't," said William. "What's going on here?" "Look, I didn't want to do it," Dibbler protested. "Do what?"
"Mr. Dibbler's been writing those stories for the Inquirer," said Saccharissa.
"I mean, no one believes what they read in the paper, right?" said Dibbler. William pulled up a chair and sat straddling it, resting his arms on the back. "So, Mr. Dibbler, when did you start pissing in the fountain of truth?"
"William," snapped Saccharissa.
"Look, times haven't been good, see," said Dibbler. "And I thought, this news business, well, people like to hear about stuff from a long way away, you know, like in the almanac." "Plague of giant weasels in Hershibar," said William. "That's the style. Well, I thought, it doesn't sort of matter if they're, you know, really true. I mean," William's glassy grin was beginning to make Dibbler uncomfortable, "I mean, they're nearly true, aren't they? Everyone knows that sort of thing happens."
"You didn't come to me," said William.
"Well, of course not. Everyone knows you're a bit unimaginative about that sort of thing."
"You mean I like to know that things have actually happened?"
"That's it, yes. Mr. Carney says people won't notice the difference anyway. He doesn't like you very much, Mr. De Word."
"He's got wandering hands," said Saccharissa. "You can't trust a man like that."
William pulled the latest copy of the Inquirer towards him and picked a story at random.
"Man stolen by demons," he said. "This refers to Mr. Ronnie Trust Me Begholder, known to owe Chryso Praise the Troll more than $2,000 last seen buying a very fast horse."
"Well,
where do the demons fit in?"
"Well, he could have been stolen by demons," said Dibbler. "It could happen to anybody."
"What you mean, then, is that there is no evidence that he wasn't stolen by demons.
That way, people can make up their own minds," said Dibbler. "That's what Mr. Carney says. People should be allowed to choose," he said.
"To choose what's true?"
"He doesn't clean his teeth properly either," said Saccharissa. "I mean, I'm not one of those people who think cleanliness is next to godliness, but there are limits."
"Classically, very few people have considered that cleanliness is next to godliness, apart from in a very sternly abridged dictionary. A rank loincloth and hair in an advanced state of matted entanglement have generally been the badges of office of prophets whose injunction to disdain earthly things starts with soap."
Dibbler shook his head sadly.
"I'm losing my touch," he said. "Imagine me working for someone. I must have been mad. It's the cold weather getting to me, that's what it is. Even wages," he said the word with a shudder, "looked attractive. Do you know," he added, in a horrified voice, "he was telling me what to do. Next time I'll have a quiet lie down until the feeling goes away."
"You are an immoral opportunist, Mr. Dibbler," said William. "It's worked so far."
"Can you sell some advertising for us?" said Saccharissa.
"I'm not going to work for anyone
on commission," snapped Saccharissa.
"What? You want to employ him?" said William.
"Why not? You can tell as many lies as you like if it's advertising. That's allowed," said Saccharissa. "Please, we need the money."
"Commission, eh?" said Dibbler, rubbing his unshaven chin. "Like 50% for you two and 50% for me too?"
"We'll discuss it, shall we?"
said Goodmountain, patting him on the shoulder. Dibbler winced. When it came to hard bargaining, dwarfs were diamond-tipped.
"Have I got a choice?" he mumbled.
Goodmountain leaned forward. His beard was bristling.